I wonder if you've ever played one of those word association games. Those activities where you have to respond with the very first thing that comes to mind after a particular word or phrase is said. You know, for example, someone says snow, and you immediately respond, wonderful. Or someone says sun, and you say tan. I wonder what would happen, what words we would come up with if we played a liturgical word association game right now. Let's find out. Who says church can't be fun, right? Don't worry, I'm not going to ask for you to shout things out, though the 8 o'clock actually did, regardless of what I said. So all bets are off here at St. Thomas. I want you to take a deep breath in and out. Clear your mind. And remember, the first answer is the best answer. The crazier, the better. Here we go. Your word? Lent. All right, see, there's always somebody. So fish, great. Anybody else wish to share their answer? No pressure. What? Ugh. That's what I get for saying the crazier the better. Thank you for your honesty. Anybody else before I continue with the sermon this morning? Sacrifice, great. Are there prizes? There's always one, and of course it's the senior warden. Yeah, asking for a friend, uh-huh. Well, God love y'all. So I do believe, I'm ignoring that question, that it's important to never ask you all to do something I'm not willing to do myself. So here's my answer. Whenever I think of Lent, I instinctively think about wilderness. Anybody else have the same thought? All right, be honest. How many of you thought of chocolate? Because that was the most popular thing at the 8 o'clock service. Oh, good for you all. I'm very proud. Now, the reason I think about the wilderness is because every year on the first Sunday in Lent, we follow Jesus there. Each year, the evangelist tells us about Jesus' sojourn and confrontation with temptation. And today, we hear Mark's telling of the experience. And as with everything else in Mark's gospel, the details are few. What takes Matthew 11 verses and Luke 13 only takes Mark 2. And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild beasts, and the angels waited on him. Mark's brevity does not render this passage devoid of meaning. Rather, it provides a broader entry for us to engage. Not restricted by specific temptations, we can take an expansive view of this scene. Location in Scripture is about more than geography. Location has meaning. Last week, for example, when we heard the story of the Transfiguration, we were up on the mountain with Jesus, Peter, James, and John. The setting of that story was not merely to paint a narrative picture, a backdrop to inspire artistic imagination. Mountains in Scripture are where God is revealed. When Mark tells us that Jesus is in the wilderness, that location signifies something as well. Wilderness, just like the desert or even deserted places, is a location commonly associated with the spiritual life. Time in the wilderness is not about self-care or cultivating a proper work-life balance. When we think about wilderness in a biblical context, we should not imagine a lovely retreat center tucked away in the trees. A time to relax and reconnect with creation. That's important, to be sure, but that is not what the scriptural wilderness is about. Jesus is not off on some camping vacation. He's not off glamping, having a little me time. The wilderness is a dangerous place which lays bare the realities of the Spirit. To go out into the wilderness, to step away from whatever else is going on, to leave behind the comforts of life, established routines, to step away from crowds and community, is to enter into an incredibly vulnerable and honest place. Most often, it is a place not eagerly sought. Mark does not write, after his baptism, Jesus was feeling great and looking to get away for some R&R, strolled off into the woods. As one commentator observes, Jesus didn't schedule a National Geographic expedition or plan a desert marathon to improve his cardiovascular fitness. I don't know who would do that latter one, but you know, apparently some people do. Mark tells us that after Jesus' baptism, the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. Jesus did not choose this time. He was sent there. The Spirit of God drove him, compelled him, forced him to go into that desolate, wild, and unsafe place. Jesus' 40 days in the wilderness harkens back to another wilderness episode, another sojourn not made by choice, Israel's 40 years in the desert. Following the Exodus story, the people of God journeyed for 40 years on their way to the Promised Land. And this journey takes so long because of the people's lack of faith. As soon as they begin their journey, the whole company complained against Moses, saying that they were better off as slaves in Egypt. In the book of Numbers, we hear the people lament, "If only we had meat to eat. We remember the fish we used to eat in Egypt for nothing, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic." All they could focus their minds on was what used to be. They struggled to be in that revelatory place of the desert. This was not an ideal time, nor was it always a holy or prayerful experience. There was significant suffering, you know, beyond missing fish, cucumbers, and garlic, though not having any garlic really is quite horrible. While the people of God could not see it in the moment, tradition looks back to see this as a time of deep intimacy between God and Israel. The desert exposed the dependence God's people have on God in an indisputable way. We do not know what Jesus discovered in the wilderness, what truths were laid bare. In Mark's account, we only know that Jesus was tempted by Satan with the wild beasts and was waited on by the angels. In these few words, scholars see a battle between good and evil, with Satan and the wild beasts, and implied in that are also demons on one side, and Jesus and the angels on the other. This is a battle set to draw Jesus away from the path before him, away from his vocation as the beloved of God. Just a few verses into Mark's gospel, we enter into a preliminary skirmish and the struggle for the very salvation of the world. The wilderness, the desert, deserted places are connected to the spiritual life because they are places of clarity. Free from distractions, void of excuses to refuse to see the truth. They are barren, lonely, dangerous places we are called to out of necessity, not by choice. Whereas God is revealed on mountaintops, humanity is revealed in the wilderness. Mark makes clear that Jesus' wilderness journey is intimately linked with his baptism and the foundation of his earthly ministry. When we pair this gospel with our other readings today, we begin to discover the cosmic unveiling of this time. Following the flood, God enters into a covenanted relationship with Noah and his descendants. Recreation, new life, and renewed relationship with God all emerge as the waters recede. We witness the same happening for Jesus. As he emerges out of the waters, something new bursts forth as a voice from heaven declares, "You are my son, the beloved. With you I am well pleased." New life, new relationship, new mission all breaks forth as the baptismal waters fall from Jesus' body. And just as is true for Noah, something new begins for Jesus when he comes out of the water. Jesus, propelled into the wilderness, is sent to discover the nature of his identity and vocation. What is true for Jesus is true for us as well. Peter, in the epistle this morning, brings full circle the connection between the lesson and the gospel. As we share in the same baptismal waters that Jesus was immersed in, we enter into the death and resurrection of God. As we come through the waters of new life, we too are changed. With that, it is our turn to experience a wilderness so that our humanity, our vocation, can be made clear to us. Our tradition of Lent, this 40-day liturgical season, remember, Sundays don't count. They are Sundays in Lent, not of Lent. So if you need a loophole and a reason to cheat on your Lenten disciplines, go ahead, have your chocolate today. This Lenten season is a wilderness season. During this time, we are led by the Spirit to strip away all distractions. We are called to honestly examine our lives, to name the ways we have succumbed to temptation, strayed from the path, neglected our vocation as the beloved of God. This is a time to step beyond what we have always known into that space of transformation. Wilderness can be scary, and it may reveal things we would rather not see, but that fear cannot stop us. We must follow Jesus, wrestle with our own temptations, trusting that the angels will stand by our side. Wilderness seasons do not last forever. Storms come to an end. Waters recede, giving way to dry ground. Relationships are restored. Covenants are made, allowing God and God's people to move forward together. The very Reverend Dr. Andrew B. McGowan, D. of Berkeley Divinity School at Yale, in his weekly postings about the lectionary readings, says this of what happens as we emerge out of these times of trial. And I quote, "Just as Noah and his companions were promised peace in a devastated world, the coming of Jesus in Mark is not merely a benign moment in a gradual dawning of human religious awareness, but a divine answer to a crisis. With the ordeal of God's anointed complete, the work of salvation has begun, and the life of the world can begin again." End quote. Jesus came out of the wilderness ready to get to work. He emerges triumphant over the temptations of Satan, confirmed in his identity, and begins his ministry, calling disciples, casting out demons, healing the sick, changing the status quo, inviting people to let go of what was, to dream of what is to come, to share in the building of the kingdom of God. From time to time, Jesus will go back to those deserted places, listening, discerning, preparing for whatever comes next. As we sit with Jesus, let us not resist where the Spirit is driving us. Let us accept the call of Lent to enter into a time of penitence and confession, to practice giving alms, fasting, denying worldly temptations and cravings. Let us remove those things which prevent us from disciplines of prayer and the study of God's word. Let us embrace the silence, listening for the voice of God, listening for the invitation, listening for the promise that we can move forward together. We have come out of a time of crisis, and it is time for us to acknowledge that the life of the world can begin again. Amen.